I had like 11 caches on it. I think I ended up holding up the schmooze, but I'm not saying it's a schmooze now, so you can't shlug it up. The joke's on you, but I hope I'm not on for the schmooze for schmoes, because otherwise I'm using up a good schmooze. But this is such a beautiful schmooze. I don't think it's my own. I don't think it's my own. But it's a great topic to talk about. So I'm opening up with this schmooze. And if I had to describe, if I had to say over, someone told me I had 5 minutes to say over to future mechanchim one hashkafa that they should take with them, this is what I would say over. So very dear to my heart. Okay, so I might even say it with this marmokam, but there's another marmokam. I think it's in one of the previous parshas, but I didn't take the time to find it, so I'll go to Parsha Shmos. Okay, so Moshe says, "V'hein lo yaminu li, lo yishmu v'koli." Moshe says to Baruch Shalom that Klai Yisrael is not going to believe me when you tell me to go and lead them out of Mitzrayim. They're not going to believe me. So Hashem says to Moshe, "Maza biyadecha." What's in your hand? By the way, if you want to know why I'm saying this schmooze, because I was learning Motzei Shabbos by Elvis Ubanim, so I learned with Yossi Blinder, Shlita, and I go and I help out by Blinder to learn a little bit, because it's hard to learn with two boys at the same time when they're learning totally different things. So I go out 15 minutes. I learn one of my grandsons. So Yossi Blinder was saying over these pukim from Perek Dalet, as he was doing it. I said, wow, this is an awesome, all these psukim, including the ones I'm saying over now, is an awesome topic. So I actually was mechavin to it from Yossi Blinder, Motzei Shabbos. And then when Avram came over to me Sunday, I said, okay, I have a perfect God topic. So Hashem said to Moshe, Maza b'yadecha v'yom amata, what's in your hand? Mm-hmm. And then and Moshe answered, amata. How would you translate mata?
Staff.
That's what I would have said, but he said stick. Yes, he said stick. Because they don't know what a staff is. Staff is a counselor in camp. So, right? So mata is a stick. The Rebbeim translate as a stick. To a 10-year-old, mata is a stick. When you guys are advanced, you call it a staff. But if you're a kid, remember that. You have to know how to translate words properly. And Rabbi Schmidman, he's not there. Rabbi Schwimman told me years ago, a Rebbe must look at art scroll. He tells you that?
No,
I told you his name. A Rebbe must look at art scroll to find out which words to translate it, if you know how to translate
art
it properly.
The worst place to look through the function words.
Translation.
No, English, translation.
How do you translate shliach?
How would they translate
you?
How about I?
Huh?
They would translate.
You were out of odd. That's how you translate it.
But
many people would say, shliach is your messenger, and it's to a kid. An agent means it doesn't have to be there. It can be your agent, not there. You know, whatever. Your agent. But certain words you have to know how to translate properly. So, okay, they may not always get it right, but it's not a bad idea. If you don't know exactly how to translate, it's okay. So, mata is a stick, and Hashem said, put the stick down, turn it into a nachash, then it turns it back, and in this way they'll believe you. And then Hashem says, now put your hand into your chest, and it turns into tzaras, and then you take your hand out, and it turns back into normal. And then the pasuk says, v'haya, here it comes, drum roll, v'haya imlo yaminu lach, if they don't believe you, lo yishmu lekol os arishon, they don't listen to the first os, they mean lekol os achron, then they believe the second os. Can I ask you guys a question? Simple question on the pasuk. Simple shot in the pasuk. If you were Morty Schwartz, and you had to do a magic act, let me ask you a question. Which act would you do as your finale? Would you do the stick your hand in, oh, I got tzaras, no tzaras, Well, you take a stick and turn it into a snake and put a snake on a stick. Truth. Which one would you do? Same as me. Stick, staff, no Shyla. That's my grand finale. The grand finale. So what, the Bnei Shalom didn't know which trick was the better trick? If you're doing a trick, you do the best trick last. Especially if you're saying they don't believe the first trick, they're going to believe the second trick. So you do the best one last. If they don't believe the first one, you do the second one. You don't do the best one first. And then if they don't believe the first one, then you do the loser trick second.
Didn't the other magicians also want to do that trick?
Stop making trouble. Yeah. It's not a schmooze. There's always one guy. Maybe stop making trouble. I told the guys in my shir, you know that Tosfos on, I think it's Heim Beis, Mila, Pesach, Tamid, and Tosfos asked, how come they didn't ask from Shar Kabbanos, from Omer, and Shtei Lechem? So one kid says, what was the carbon Shtei Lechem? I said, you don't ask questions like that during the year. Right? Like, you know, certain questions you don't ask. So there's always one guy who asks the question, Shtei Lechem. It involves Chilul Shabbos, that's what I told him. That's all you need to know right now. I had a friend of mine who was a Rebbe, and it was in a more Ivrit place, but no one spoke Ivrit. The kids were supposed to speak Ivrit, but everyone spoke English, so he took the job, but he never spoke Hebrew. So one kid who was Israeli started speaking a mile a minute, started asking questions in Hebrew, and he didn't understand a word the guy said, but he couldn't say he didn't understand a word he said. So he looks at the kid, he says, please, don't ask questions that only me and you understand. You have to ask in English. Okay. So
do you think it was actual magic that they did? Or it was just...
Here?
Yeah.
That wasn't magic. Hashem made an ace. What Daniel said is that maybe the magicians of Mitzrayim were able to do it. Don't forget they're also utilizing Koach HaTumah. I don't know. Sorry, HaTumah. So Hashem performed an ace. So what does Rashi say? Rashi says, why would they believe the second os more than the first? To our knowledge, to the way we see it, the second os was not so good. The first os was the big one. Turn a nafesh into a stick, into a snake, and a snake into a stick. Wow. So Rashi says, whichever. So Rashi says, the second os, which turned his hand into tzaras, Rashi says, because Klai Yisrael is going to see, Mishetomer lehem b'shvilchem lakisi. Why did Moshe's hand turn into tzaras? Because he said lashon hara on Klai Yisrael. He said behein lo yaminu li.
They weren't there.
Behein lo yaminu li. He said Moshe Rabbeinu said lashon hara on Klai Yisrael. Mishetomer lehem, when they will be told to them, b'shvilchem lakisi, when it will be told to them that Moshe says, because of you, Hashem protected you by causing me, Moshe Rabbeinu, to have tzaras, al shesiparti aleichem lashon hara, because I said lashon hara about you, and I said behein lo yaminu bi, yaminu lecha, then they'll believe you. So we see from here a special thing. I'm pretty sure I heard this when I was branching in New Haven, Connecticut, from Rabbi Kamen, Rabbi Moshe Kamen, Rabbi Sharpen's father-in-law. I believe he said this part many years ago, is that when Klai Yisrael sees that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves them so much, that Moshe Rabbeinu just said, like, let's say they don't believe me, it was like a question. And why should Klai Yisrael believe them? If the torture they had after 210 years, and now Moshe Rabbeinu comes and says, come, I'm going to take you out of Mitzrayim, like, it's preposterous. How are they going to defy the rule, the reign of the evil Paro and everything going on? Why should they believe it? And Moshe Rabbeinu said that, but they won't believe me, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is exacting punishment to Moshe Rabbeinu, their supposed leader. because he spoke Lashon Hara, Hashem loves him so much, he still, you know, got their backs. So this is the key, and the shmooze, but this is mamish the key. When a kid sees that you love them, and you, no words could teach this to them, no words can convince them that you love them.
Shmira is love?
You can't convince them that you love them by telling them. It doesn't hurt to tell them, but this has to be action. From the beginning of the year, first of all, take a while. It takes time. You have to sort of say, lay the groundwork. You have to call them. You have to, you know, take care of them. They have to see that you really mean it. That you really, really, you don't react to them negatively. You always stay positive with them. If you do that and they feel like you really love them, then you could do everything. Tell you, there's this part I have said, but I see it's all in this. When I gave that crazy vibe at the end of last year, I said over the whole Maisa that was going on, which I never really finished, but you know, so the school was 20 years ago, 20 plus years ago now, was in disarray. The kids were unhappy. They were like, it happens every so often. The kids get angry and, you know, they weren't listened to, they felt not listened to, and then they start doing crazy things, or they revolt. And I'm sure every principal has gone through it. You know, the kids all walk out. They senior skip day, it's been done. Anytime there's any kind of revolution, you know, rebellion, it's always about the relationships. The Klal Gadol is rules minus relationships equal rebellion. If you remember that postulate, that algebraic equation, rules minus relationships equal rebellion. So if you're anywhere, you see rebellion, you want to know what rebellion looks like? I'll tell you in a minute what rebellion looks like. In for teenagers, what does rebellion look like? Well, yeah, any kids, you know, middle school, you know, elementary school. If you have rebellion, it's pashut. Okay, so the equal on the right side is equal rebellion, is rules minus relationships. So if you want to get rid of rebellion, you want to reduce rebellion, you have to reduce the rules or add to relationships. It's no great science. It's algebra. It's algebra. Rules minus relationship equal rebellion. It's true in all, it's universal. Not just Jewish schools, all schools, all environments. Rules minus relationships equal rebellion. So I remember the first time I met Rabbi Foreman, I was there with Rabbi, I was not the Reshiva, I was Manal. I was there with Rabbi Neumann, Rabbi Luban, Rabbi Chait at his hotel, where he was staying here until like 1:30 in the morning. We were meeting with him, his friend of Bracha. And he was telling us that, you know, so you're going to have to either reduce the rules or upgrade the relationships. And we thought we were 10 out of 10 relationships. And I remember relationships, that's what we do, we create relationships. But, you know, relationships go two ways, you know. We got rid of a lot of the rules. Le Marshall, one of the rules that we had in the school, which Rabbi Grumlat implemented, was that in order to create some kind of discipline system during davening, so when I came here, so after davening, Rabbi Grumlat would say, the following boys should see me after davening. He was the principal at Grumlat. The following boys should see me after davening. He would read up a whole list. Where'd that list come from? Any kids who didn't have a hat and jacket, if they were talking during the davening, excessive, or whatever infractions they had, he would call them up after davening, and then he would give them, I mean, it's hard even to believe that, like almost 30 years, 29 years ago, it's hard to believe that we were so primitive, But I'm going to tell it to you, you're going to laugh. I can't believe you do such a thing. But that's what everyone did. You had to either, depending on what you did, it was like a 100-word assignment, a 200-word assignment, a 300-word assignment. I was teaching eighth grade that year. There were kids in my class, I remember, who were writing assignments and selling them to guys. The guy in my class, and he was a real creative kid, and he loved the business. He was making good money, and he was writing it. You can get it in circles, you can get it in square, and write it inside, and write like he was happy. Get the assignment, and if you didn't do it, it doubled the next day, so you had to do it. And that thing went out with this Stone Age, but it was still around. Believe it or not, this was still around. And then when I became principal 4 years after I got here, I only tweaked it that why should you have to call out the people at the davening? I came with this great idea, chachma, that every kid will have a code and we'll just every day upgrade the, post it up with the, look at your codes, this way it's anonymous, and you'll see how many points you have, and X amount of points. If you hit 20 points, you get suspended. If you had 10 points, if you serve a detention on Sunday, you get 10 points off. And if you go through a whole week without getting any points, then you get 10 points off. So it was a built-in great system to self-monitor yourself. It was such genius. We thought we were so smart. And I remember one kid hit his 20 points. When you hit 20 points, you're automatically suspended. One-day suspension, automatic. So therefore, high school. Well, the school was 7th grade through 12th at the time. So if you hit 20 points, you were automatically suspended. But we thought it was built in. Okay, we don't make the kids do detention. He wants to do detention because he wants to get rid of his 10 points. Or if you're down for the Umud, you get 3 points off. If you assume the Zimmer was 2 and Ishtabach was 3. And we had all these built-in shtick, and what do you call it? We thought we were so smart. Yes, we had some vandalism. By the way, I told you before, what does rebellion look like in kids? Kids don't know how to express themselves. Adults would say, sir, I know I've been working here for a couple of years. It's really been hard for me that you make me serve a detention. Tell your boss. Or, adults know how to speak, most of them. But even then, you have to be careful. But kids, they don't know how to articulate. They don't know how to speak their minds. Some of them don't even tell their parents. They're just angry. So what do you think, with those things going on, what do you think the kids are feeling? Anger. Why? What are they feeling? The feeling is anger, but...
Mistreated.
Yeah, mistreated.
You don't care about them.
You don't care about them. No communication. Yeah, no. It's everything is I'm a number.
You say that the fact that they don't know how to tell someone, like they like grab them more.
Possibly. I was thinking another one. Controlled. Right. Controlled. That's the one I resonated with me.
That's what made me rebel in middle school.
Controlled. When they have it so perfect. We thought it. I'm just telling you. I remember the thinking back then without the training. Without the training and the educational consulting that I spent from 2002 to 2000, when was Rabbi Ephraim Nifta, like 2019, I think I spent like 16 or 17 years. I figured I spent over 2,000 hours with Rabbi Ephraim myself. 2,000 hours with him. There are certain things I got. Core. Control. When a kid feels controlled, he doesn't feel relaxed, doesn't feel calm. He's the one that taught me rules minus relationship equal rebellion. And he told us, he figured it out from my email, exactly what was going on. He figured it out. Rules minus relationship equal rebellion. You got the rebellion, so something's mighty bad relationships and too many rules. And both were true. Both were true. Now, it wasn't on purpose. No one ever says a bad relationship, but You know, we had one parent once called us up and said, I don't want to send my kid to your school because you don't want my kid. I said, what do you mean? Well, of course you want your kid. He goes, no. I read all your literature. You know, register now or you'll be closed out. If you don't register by April 1st, there'll be another $150 late fee. Like all these verbiage gave people the feeling, there's nothing to do with the education side, but the parents were feeling that they were not wanted. Can you imagine, would any business want to tell their customers, we don't want you? But if you look carefully at literature of businesses, I love picking up and you could see that there are some businesses that they don't want you.
Not so they hate you.
Customer service, they don't want you. You could tell they don't want you. Now, of course, they want your money, but they don't really want you. You can pick it up in a second. You go to a doctor's office, you can tell, you know, sometimes they just, everything's difficult. So they want your money, but they don't want you. And we had to figure that out the hard way. So what is the first thing we did?
Oh,
by the way, one kid hit the 20 points, hit 21 points on a Friday, and automatic suspension. So we went to him and he suspended him. By the way, I'm embarrassed to say this, but it's being recorded, so it's kedai to say it, so people shouldn't make the same mistake. The system took care of itself. Like we're pate, we have nothing to do with it, right? I'm just the manal, but you're a responsible person. This is like automatic, like nothing to do with me. The kid who was got the 21st point got it on the Friday. His bar mitzvah was on Shabbos. Yes, he was suspended. Now I didn't tell him he was suspended. Someone else did. Someone else's job was to tell the kids. But yes, ad kedei kach that a kid was suspended on Friday and his bar mitzvah was on Shabbos. That's how we love the kids. We love the kids, right? I love them so much. And this is a self monitoring system. I'm out of this. I'm nothing to do with it. Like we washed our hands. I have nothing to do with it. But even things that you think that are being taken care of themselves and not by you, it was all now 20 years later, you look back and you say, I can't even believe we did such a thing. That's how crazy it is. When I figured this out, I called every single Chofetz Chaim branch. I called everyone. I was on the phone every day calling another branch because where do you think I got it from? I didn't think of this myself. I got it from different people when I was in school and what I heard from other places, even Chofetz Chaim places. I called everyone off the hook. I said you gotta see that. Yes. Now, some of them fought me, but then eventually they listened to me. And I like, oh my gosh, it was so. Oh yeah, with Queens when they had the sign up there with if you look out the window.
Yeah.
You remember that?
I don't know.
You missed it, but that was one of the things. Yeah, Raising I used to. Raising was Gavaldic because he's the best debater because he hocks you to the understanding. He was good. So the first thing we did, we said we'd get rid of the whole point system. And Rabbi Foreman told us, do not get rid of this point system. If you put it in, there's something good about it. Figure out how you could use it. So we came up with this plan. Okay, we're not gonna get rid of it. A kid who shows that he's not compliant with anything, we'll put him on that system. But as of now, we're gonna take everyone off the system. After the notification, we're telling them we're trying something else, and we're just gonna, if someone does something wrong, someone may go on with them and say, no, please don't talk during davening. Whoa, no one ever thought of that. You know, please don't talk during davening.
Does that work?
You'd be surprised. Like someone said, you know, what are you doing to kids who come late? Not doing anything to them. So I did a study on the kids who are coming late. So we had kids coming late. Eventually, you get enough lates, you get enough points. You don't get suspended, you do a detention on Sunday. So let's say 15 kids on a Sunday were doing detention. And I looked, the kids were still coming late. How many kids do you think were coming late? 15 kids were coming late. The same kids were coming late. The detention wasn't helping them. they were doing detention every 2 weeks, and they still coming late. So what do I gain by having them there on a Sunday afternoon?
More people would have been coming late.
No, they weren't, but it's the same amount. We looked, there was still, even after we stopped it, the same 15 kids were coming late, that's it.
But no kids that were affected, so,
But what happened is the avira in the school was so toxic that everything had to be revisited. We went through our handbook to. I memorized. It used to say, our office is open. Our educational office open from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Students are not permitted to come into the office. Secretaries are busy, and they should make sure they have ample set of pens, papers, copies must be made at home on their own time, and secretaries are not available for their kids. Parents are requested to call the secretaries after morning classes, but the secretaries usually have a lot of stuff like that. And then we changed it to, our secretaries are here always eager to serve all of our parents. They're usually reachable between this time and this time. We changed over. We didn't change any rule. We didn't change any actual. But just the way things were reported, the race was set over is like, do you want this person? You know what? When you read it, do you want them or do you not want it?
It's like
20 years ago.
It's like the mood you want to set.
20 years ago.
It's like when you said when someone writes a story, like the mood that you want to set. If you write in this mood that the secretaries are not there for the students, not the person, like, they're getting like all aggressive about it. But
right.
They're eager to help.
They're eager to help. I'll give you another example of this. Okay, you're doing Tosfos Achas Ishto. A long Tosfos. It's got 22 steps and 5 rayas and what the raya from Sachem is, you know, nobody knows. And this is murder Tosfos, and you give a test on it. Okay, you're a 9th grade rabbi, 10th grade rabbi. You tell them, pay attention, guys. I'm giving a test on Tuesday, and you don't pay attention now. You're gonna fail. You're all gonna fail. So when you tell kids that this is a very hard Tosfos, and you'll be lucky if you get it straight. A better way to say that is to say we're doing this very challenging Tosfos, probably one of the most challenging Tosfos we'll ever do together. As we're doing it, I'm just letting you know, you're going to be accountable, responsible to know this Tosfos.
What does that mean?
But I'm going to help you. And if you let me, you will know this Tosfos. And you're going to be so proud. I'm going to help you. So one of the most difficult tests we're ever going to do.
You said the first one is the way to challenge.
Yeah, you tell them, I'm on your side. I'm going to help you get through it. Of course you're going to help them go through it. You're their teacher. You're the Rebbe. So, you know, you are the whole
this way you have to spend extra time with them.
The message that you're giving to them is that I'm there to help you.
And I'm saying, but you might actually have to take separate time to... Because a kid, let's say, says, okay, Rebbe, I need more help.
You're going to do that anyway.
And to actually take your time out of your busy schedule to sit with the kid.
You may have to do that. Yeah. You have to show the kids that you have to find times to show your kid. Now, it's not always easy. And believe me, I'm not preaching here. I'm far from perfect.
But if they've got a disciplinary issue, how do you tell your student or staff member or camper? How do you tell them in a way that won't make you the aggressor of it, but meaning that you want to be there with them to help them? When you see someone, let's say a kid in your class who hits another student or curses another class. And you start yelling at them this and that. Let's go to the principal's office. They're gonna look at you
right. So
they're attacking me.
That's a great question. Let's say you're talking about a fourth grade situation.
Fourth.
The kid's 9 years old, right? So the time to deal with that is way before the kid hits fourth graders hit each other. That's what they do. They get
like a sixth or seventh grader.
Okay, just pick the grade. Which grade do you want to talk about?
Sixth or seventh.
You're switching. Sixth grader?
Seventh.
Seventh grader.
Seventh grader tonight? You should know the
mix.
No, no, no. Seventh.
Okay, fifth year is hashtag.
Seventh grade?
Seventh grade.
And what are we talking to them about?
Living popular.
What say someone like curses in the classroom or like hits another student? Curses, right?
Curses.
So how do you like deal with that?
Same. I'm going to say the same thing to the fourth grader. Make a difference. So if you're a seventh grade Rebbe and the kid's going to curse, well, that's a pretty good anticipation to realize that how you take care of Nivel Peh. If Nivel Peh is something that a Rebbe has to know how he's dealing with it. So if Nivel Peh is something that's important to you, so at the first day of the school year, you build a certain pride
standard
in the class. Guys, you're about to go on the one of the most amazing journeys you will ever be. I remember I was a counselor in Mugganov for 5 years. Now, 5 years is a long time to be a counselor. Okay, by that time, you're either long gone because they want to get rid of you, or you're a real loser and they can't find another job for you. So, whatever. So I was a counselor for
five.
Okay, we have something in common. So I was a counselor for 5 years, but by the time I was a fifth year counselor, I was a super counselor. I couldn't have been a super counselor when I was 17 or 18, but 5 years. Okay, he's probably a super counselor.
What's a super counselor?
I'll tell you. A super counselor. If I would have had the chachma to do this, my first years, I would have been much better. But the fifth year, it's all about getting the kids excited. On the first day, you tell them, guys, I just want you to know, we are the best bunk in the camp. You know my whole spiel. We are the best bunk in the camp, carefully selected. Here's what we're doing. We're setting up the bunk to be like this. I'm going to take you guys out for canteen. If we could do this and this, I think we could. We have the best sports team. We have this. We're going to do this. If we do that, and you stay consistent, you make them feel so special, that. I can't believe you guys are in one bunk.
Isn't that lying to that bunk?
It's true.
What do you do with the scholars? They weren't careful.
A lot of it is motivation.
It's true. A teacher who tells his kids, like, we have the best collection of students in this class. I want to tell you, I was in ninth grade in the lower math class. If that ever happened to you, listen to this story. Okay, Rabbi Sharf was in the higher math class. Okay, he was so smart. Okay, I was in the lower math class. Okay, so the teacher came in, and first thing he came in and said, you know, I saw some of your math scores that you've taken, and you know they're pretty good. So the difference between the advanced class and the dummy class was that the advanced class took the ninth grade regents, and the dummy class took the citywide. If you think the regents were dumb, the citywide was even dumber. So he told us, the teacher told us, I'm going to score. If you guys want, I'd be ready to prepare you guys, if you want, for the state regents. You could do it. Not only that, I'll make a wager. This is what the tape tells me, Mr. Plattner. I'll make a wager that you guys, total score, there are 20 kids in this class, 20 kids in that class. I'll make a wager, okay, keep it amongst us. If you do it, that your total score will beat the other class's total score. You do that, the day after the region, we're going to have a pizza party right here. You guys, if you want.
Who said this? The teacher?
The teacher. First day.
Mr.
Plantner. First day.
Teacher of
ninth grade.
Lower class or the
lower? Lower class. Lower class. What do you think, out of the 20 kids, how many of the 20 kids do you think said, yeah, we'll go to the challenge? 20 out of 20. 20 out of 20. I got 100 on my ninth grade redo. I 101.
Rebbe, did you beat them though?
We beat them, of course.
How much?
They were a year older.
Of course. A year older?
The
other ninth grade, two ninth grades. No.
How did you do that from the whole pack?
No. Where is this, Brooklyn?
Commonance.
Oh.
Commonance.
Oh, these
devins. Shout out to
our son's comments.
How would you ever do that for the whole class?
And so the teacher was so wise that he got us to say we want to do it. We bought in, and all he had to do after that was teach the class.
And he got a paper.
The guy was a genius. A genius. The best math teacher ever, because he motivated us to want to do it more. We just couldn't wait to beat that other class. So
you weren't supposed to take regions.
So, we were told citywide.
And you took regions.
We took the regions. It was just amazing motivation. But it I didn't hop this until like 10 years later. I thought back, oh my gosh, I fell for it.
Oh, no.
I fell for it. I'm positive. There's no way he did that for real, right? The other guy's a real loser, right? There's no way he did that for real. Like he was just asking us if we wanted to take the state region. That was planned. That was an amazing tactic, and you could do that with every single class. Find the button that's gonna challenging them to something. You're about to do one of the most difficult tosin. Guys, I'm going to help you, but you're going to be able to get it. You're going to know this tosis as well as Rabbi Lubin Shear.
It's not true.
I'm going to get, after we do the share, I'm going to invite Rabbi Lubin in to talk to you guys about this tosis, and you'll be able to understand him. You want that. There's no doubt every kid will raise his hand to do that. You got to find the right thing, but of course, all the time. All the time. But that is showing how much you care. You believe in them. You could do it. So that's part of the relationship. It happens to be, but I'm not ignoring your question. I'm just not answering it. My head is somewhere else. I just said the first thing we did when we spoke to Ray Foreman in that hotel room is we dropped the whole point system. And then we tried to figure out what we can do to build on the relationships. And it's an equation. All you need to know is you have the rebellion. What does rebellion look like in schools? You walk into a school, you don't have to do anything. The first thing you do, if you wanna inspect the school now that you've heard, go to the bathroom. You can't hide it. You go to the bathroom. If you see like this toilet seat ripped off, if you see a writing scratched mess all over the place, but not normal mess, but just you go into classrooms and you see desks turned upside down, broken desks all over the place, broken doors, because kids don't know how to express, articulate. So they take out their frustration on the physical. Do you know that, I guess there's much less, okay, I don't know about our high school right now, the Avira is pretty good. Silverstein or Gita, but in many yeshivas, it's not like this. The cheating that goes on in secular is much, much more prevalent than by the Kodesh. But what's the reason? So, No, I'm not talking about high school. It's,
I think it's true now.
College?
It's, yeah, but let's not talk about our high school.
There's no pressure.
There are a couple of reasons why that is.
Someone doesn't feel indebted.
No, I'll tell you a few reasons. Number one, Rebam are so much better proctors. Number one. Number two, the relationship with Rebam is usually much stronger. I'm not talking about our high school. Okay, number three, and this is key, is that if a kid thinks that the test is fair and that the teacher is testing on what they said they would test on, and it's not just busy work, oh, we've studied these 150 pages, we test on it, the kid thinks it's not fair, so that's the studies show that's the most likely reason why a student's going to cheat, because if the teacher is not being fair to me, then the kid says, okay, I don't owe him this integrity on the tests. So we I remember years ago we worked on this, and we worked with the teachers, and we started making sure that the tests that they're giving are not one of these tests you pull out of some workbook and has no shaykh as to what the kids are learning. Because that really, you know, induces cheating, and that's terrible. Because the kids start, you know, developing bad habits, bad meters. Terrible. That could multiply into life. You don't want them to do that. So I wouldn't mind. I'd rather kid get a zero. I'd rather kid get a five on a test, and promise him he won't, you know, fail. No, I probably won't bother me. Just keep honest your work, but you know, show up every day. And try your best. If extra help is needed, I'll offer it, or you ask for it. You do all those things in a Kodesh class. You know, I'm gonna make sure the kid doesn't fail. He's gonna get the credit he needs, because I'll find the system that's gonna make it work for him. You don't fail a class, okay? Now, I know in secular it's different. You have to pass. You have to know the material. Okay, you could say a little bit as that. There's a state standard, you have to pass the standards, a region, okay, could be. But for Kodesh, who's evaluating the Kodesh? What's it based on? The kid's doing everything he possibly could do, so if he's in the wrong class, I'll put him in a different class. But if he's...
gauge effort in the class?
Absolutely.
What if the kid does well in all the tests, but he just doesn't put the effort? He's just smart.
If the... It happens to be that I would put, you know, if the Rebbe is consistent and he should give a grade for effort, and he should tell the kid that, you know, like, why isn't the Rebbe challenging the kid more? And give him extra work to do, you're capable of doing it. Like, let the kid know that, okay, I mean, Rabbi Dudovitz was here. He used to write three, sometimes four tests per every exam he gave. He had three or four tests.
That's Dreyfus does.
And he give, yeah, that's where Dreyfus got it from. And he would give out different tests. So the Rebbe has to challenge the kid.
Isn't that very embarrassing for the kids who get like the lower test?
You know? You'd be surprised, because you do it in a wise way. It's not nicker. The Rebbe's smart. He walks around. He has the easiest test on the bottom and the hardest test on the top, and there's a few other ones in the middle, and he's walking back giving the test. The kids can't tell if you're taking it from the top of the pile, the bottom of the pile, and you know who you're giving tests to. So you do it in a smart way, and they're not looking at each other's questions.
What about when they compare answers after they get the test back?
They compare answers?
After they get the test back, and you see like what the right answer is.
You'd be surprised, but that particular rabbi, I don't think anyone here even knows Rabbi Dudovitz, but...
I know someone who has.
But, yeah, you know Rabbi Dudovitz, but Rabbi Dudovitz, he would have the people sign up which level test you want.
Right, that's what Rabbi Dudovitz
would do. So you sign up beforehand, so they're not even... Usually they sign up for what they, you know, for what they type of... exam they want. You ready for the top one? Okay. If you want that, that's how you'll be graded.
You can't do that for secular studies.
You can do secular studies.
Yeah,
Anything. Alright, you could do it for second studies. But it takes more time and effort. But, you know, you have to go through it. Like, some things take time. You can't.
No Rebbe does that. I mean,
no?
No other Rebbe. Typical Rebbe does other things.
Really?
No, this is Shiva does it. It's very hard. You become a lot of that.
It's not so hard. It's not so hard.
I know.
It's not so hard to do. You just like, there's like five questions you change up. You change up. It's not so hard. Oh, so Nivel Peh, you really have to. If you know what's a problem, you have to deal with that at the beginning of the year. Have an open conversation with them. First day, second day of the school year. Guys, how do we deal with proper behavior in class? I feel like you guys are capable of being on level one. Are you on level one? Here's what level one means. First of all, level one, if we decide that we're level one, tomorrow we have a party. Because we're level one. That just the fact that we agree that we're level one, you deserve a l'chaim.
Wow, everyone did.
you make your first fabring. Okay, level one. What does it mean level one? In level one, we say good morning when we see our friends the first thing in the morning. We say good morning. We don't use the whichever words you who is this about the Nivel Peh? So whichever words you should let them know which words we don't use. You know, nowadays you can tell them which words we don't. You know, as level one, Ben Torah doesn't use the following words. Of course, not the this word, but.
You have to
know what the time is.
But
the kids have to know what you mean. So there's
like
four-letter words, guys, and then there's like the slang words that we don't use. So if anyone doesn't know what I mean, come up to me privately and I'll spell it out for you so you know. First day, level one. You want to do level one? If they're 12, 13 years old, then you know you have to deal with Nivel Peh. There aren't any new vices coming up that, oh my gosh, I didn't know there was such a thing as vaping. Like, you teach them what vaping, teach them what it is, and tell them that, guys, level one, we are going to be the ambassadors for the school. When a parent comes in, I told the principal that you guys are level one. They're going to come in here, and you can give them a tour of the school. Level one. Level one means you tuck your if that's the school, you tuck your shirts in. I'll tell you. Are there any in my share here this year? No. I never did this before this year, so anyone who's in my share, I should have done it, but I didn't think of it. So I told them the first day. I don't know why I never did it before. I told them the first day, guys, I cannot tell you I'm blessed to be here in 12th grade. I don't know what it is. I started here. I used to teach 8th grade. I love teaching 8th grade. I taught 10th grade for 5-6 years. I taught 11th grade for 5-6 years. Today, I don't think I can teach 10th grade.
What do we teach that?
I told you that part, I told you. I can't teach 10th grade. I'm teaching 12th grade because I have such joy teaching. I can't teach 10th grade. I just can't be a 10th grade Rebbe. You know, 10th grade Rebbe, the 10th graders are so dumb. They love when I say that. The 10th graders, they're so dumb. They think they're like 12th grade. What's the difference? But you guys know. The 10th graders, aren't they? They go.
It really works.
10th grader, I can't be a 10th grade Rebbe. So therefore, let's take a couple of things and just get it out of the way. If you're not wearing a hat, this I didn't do, and people who had me invest, if you're not wearing a hat and jacket by davening, you're absent.
Oh.
Let's move on. if you're, it took 2 seconds. When I come to class, you know what, if you knew my schedule and what I had to do, the most joyous time of my day is when I'm gonna be with you. I'm doing a million things, but from 9:45 to 12:45, I'm all yours. If I'm gonna be in that class of 9:45, you better be there. That's when you need, that's where you need to be. And if you're cut, if you cut a class, that's a third of a grade. I can't be 10th grade Rebbe. Done. If you,
you throw
it
in.
I just threw it in. I said, we have recess. When I come back from recess, you have to be there. Because I'm coming back. I'm there. I'm gonna be there, guys. Every day. I'm gonna be on time. So that's one thing. I can't be 10th grade Rebbe. You'll get all the benefits of me as 12th grade Rebbe, and you don't even know half the benefits. That's what I said.
What happened to the
You know.
What?
Do you, if you repeat this to them, I'm in big trouble. So don't say anything. Do you know that today is December? What is it? 25th. Not one kid has missed a class yet.
What?
Not one kid has missed a class. I had a couple of kids who came late, and they apologized to Gazoo for the reasons. I told them, if you miss a class, it's a third of a grade. There's no negotiations. You want to get a principal to come over to me and say it's excuse? It's a different story. But the principals aren't excusing you. I'm not an easy pushover.
Like a 96
to 93.
Said, That's the only thing. If I'm going to be here, we're here. We're learning. So that's it. I'm going to help you with everything. That's it. It took my whole speech took about 2 minutes. And the hardest thing I have to do right now is I need to show up. I show up and I get there, and no matter what's happening, I just stop and I go in there. Because they know when I'm there, it means I care. And, you know, I'm just plowing. I'm just like plowing. You know, I was always nervous. That's why after so many years, that's why I never ever did that before. But it was a mistake. You know what I tell them? I say sometimes when we're starting to share and they want to do 100 million other things, I say, okay, I take attendance. You know, it's like a minute. I call out a name, even though they're right in front of me. Moshe Barda, you know, Zachy Breyer. I make a whole, you know, thing out of it. You know, I mark them here. Okay, I switched to my fig phone, but I on my smartphone I just take it. That's all I use it for attendance. So I take attendance on that, and then I press submit. So guys, I'm pressing submit. When I finish, if you're not here by the time I finished, and you're not here, then it's submitted. That goes to the office. That goes to the parents. So I just said, I'm pressing submit. Anyone has, or they go running, catching their friends. No. He's in the music room. You want to get him? I don't mind. They go again. They pull their kids in. They submit, you know. And then I count down. That's another thing to think of. Okay. I'm counting down now because finish up your conversations. When I get to one, we start.
Five.
Believe it or not, 12th graders. I would do it in Spanish. Five, four, three. They're thrilled because when do you start? Okay, guys, get ready. Okay, we're starting. Okay, we're really starting. It's the same countdown. I just do it for real. Five, four, three. Watch this. Two and one. When I say one, we're done. We start. And then I'll start. I don't care if there are 20 people talking, and if everyone's talking, I look at one guy and say, I only need one. Are you with me? You with me? Shmuel, you with me? Okay, I got two. Fine. I'm going. Guys, I'm starting right now. At this point, as soon as I start reading, you are fully responsible for this Gemara. I'm a Rava. And then slowly they stop. And I don't do any other yelling at them or screaming at them. I work my hardest to ignore any lingering. Yeah, it's solve itself. And the first day of the year, I told them, I have the most difficult classroom in the building. because it's right next to the music room. Okay? There's another thing, another genius thing I stumbled onto. Hashem gave me this chachma. Wow. On the first day of the year, I said, guys, I apologize. You know, I love music. Huh? I love music.
This is new.
This is new because you weren't in that room.
I
love music. So I actually feel this is the best room for me. I know there's going to be music. I love music. Guys, drumming, I learn better with it. I suggest anyone here like music? Everyone raised their hand. Says, you're in for a treat this year. Because not only can we learn here, but we can be able to hear music. The only person that has a right to go into the music room and stop them from playing is if your last name is Bogomilsky.
Oh my gosh.
And you are pitch perfect.
Every single day.
If you're pitch perfect and you can't handle the music, by the way, it's all lousy. Okay. if you're pitch perfect and you really can't handle it, then you have permission to go and tell them to please stop because you can't learn. But me, I prefer the music. So what do I accomplish by that? No one say I can't learn. I didn't have one person ever say to me that they can't learn, it's distracting. Because I got rid of it the first day because I like the music. So anytime anyone complained, they said,
annoying?
What are you talking about? Everyone knows teenagers study best when there's blaring music in their ears.
Music.
So what do you mean? Of course, I taught them to love it. I taught them the music doesn't wow them. And therefore, I do that because I had the worst classroom. And I was very upset at Rabbi Jarvis was going to be that ridiculous classroom.
You couldn't double
but
that
no, he's the principal. Whatever he puts me, I go. I know how to play teacher too, you know. And I'm the teacher, he's the principal. Wherever he puts me is fine, but I know how to make lemonade out of lemons. I convince the kids that don't ever complain to me about the music because you're preaching to the choir. No pun intended. I love music. When they come to me and say, Rabbi, there's so much music. Yeah, great, Gavaldik, I love music. That's it. You have to anticipate. It's the same thing Nivopet. First day, figure out what the issues are, and the first day, level one.
What is Rabbi doing?
Okay, this VOD is officially over.
What is Rabbi doing with the